My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Our guest today is Peter Eddington, who has recently attended an archaeological conference in the state of New Mexico, in Albuquerque. He will tell us a story of biblical proportions, a story with deep biblical implications. He gave a sermon on this last month, October 2021, and I found this to be one of the most interesting sermons of archaeology of all, because it's about the city of Sodom. When we think of Sodom, it brings implications to us that are very, very stark, of fire, brimstone, lifestyles, and that type of thing. So first of all, welcome to Inside United, Peter.
Thank you very much, Vic. Great to be here again.
Peter, tell us about this conference you went to and what you learned.
It was right after the Feast of Trumpets this year that several of us went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to a biblical archaeology conference. So not just any kind of archaeology, this is specifically biblical and actually led by some rather conservative theologians. You know, there's a lot we would agree with this particular group of archaeologists. Scott Ashley, the managing editor of our Beyond Today magazine, was there with me, as well as Tom Robinson, who's one of our senior writers and editors, and also a fellow named Don Harms, who's a member in Colorado near Scott Ashley, who has an interest in biblical archaeology, was along as well, came at his own expense to be there. In fact, he has been involved, Don Harms has been involved in the dig, in the archaeological happenings at a proposed site for Sodom, from, you know, ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. So Don's been digging there. So there was a number of topics discussed at this three-day conference. Dr. Scott Stripling gave two lectures. He's from the Bible Seminary in Houston, Texas. He's provost there. He's also director of excavations for the Associates for Biblical Research at Kibbutz El Makara and Shiloh in Israel. So a very, very well-known and respected archaeologist. He's actually been excavating and analyzing a site on Mount Ebal. He's finding evidence that strongly supports the location of the altar that Joshua built when they entered the Promised Land more than 3,000 years ago. And it's a very convincing site for the altar that Joshua built on Mount Ebal. So more is coming out about that from Dr. Stripling. He's also been digging at Shiloh in Israel. Shiloh was the capital of Israel before Jerusalem was, I think for about 300 years. And Dr. Stripling has found what he believes is the location of the tabernacle. And what the Israelites did was they built a stone platform to put the tent on, put the tabernacle on. And he's found that stone platform and even remnants of animal sacrifices that are from not just any animal, but all the clean animals. And as a preponderance of bones from the right side of the animal, which is what was the priest's portion of the sacrifice. So it's obviously a sacrificial site and very well may be the location of the tabernacle for 300 years, 3,000 years ago. So that's one of his amazing finds. He's found parts of a four-horned altar. He's found three of the horns of the altar there, the bones, a storeroom where he believes the Israelites brought their tithes and their offerings. So a fascinating find of where the tabernacle may have stood.
You know, one thing I find, Peter, so interesting is that as we move along in this century, there are more and more archaeological finds that actually support what the Bible says. The Bible used to be far more believed. There was more faith in it when they didn't have all this archaeology. And now that we're finding all those things, it seems to be putting the critics at bay as to the veracity of the Bible, because those things are found to be true. And talking with Scott Ashley, who's been there one find after another, it is amazing how true those things are that are biblically stated.
Yeah, I mean, a few hundred years ago, nobody believed that King David really existed. It was just a fable from the Bible. Now, of course, they found an actual city called the City of David, which is where his city was. And so, yeah, lots and lots of discoveries are proving characters and events of the Bible.
Now, one thing about this archaeological conference that you told us beforehand is that there was not a conference of this kind for several years. This is kind of the first one in a while.
Yeah, so this organization has had a bit of a hiatus, I think, for 15 years. Mm. Scott actually went to the last one they had 15 years ago.
Wow.
But they've decided to get back into it again, and having students and professors and interested people join them for a conference again. They're already planning one for next year.
Mm-hmm.
The organizer of the conference was Dr. Stephen Collins. He's the executive dean at Albuquerque's Trinity Southwest University. And he has been digging for 15 years at a site he believes is ancient Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Tal al-Hammam today.
Mm-hmm.
Tal or tel, you know, like a mound or a dig. Tal al-Hammam. It's in the Jordan Valley, right where the Jordan River goes into the Dead Sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the location of Tal al-Hammam and where he believes the ancient site of Sodom was, for many reasons. I might mention one of the other talks at the conference was by a fellow named Dr. Rami Arav, who's been digging at a place he believes is Bethsaida on the north side, north end of the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, so that's a tell or a mound there that he's been excavating since 1987. And he's found lots of civilizations there. And, of course, including a civilization at the time of Christ and after. But, of course, Bethsaida was where Peter and Andrew and, Philip
mm-hmm.
was from Bethsaida.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's found evidence of the first century life there, but also of much more ancient cultures that were there as well on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. So that was some of the other lectures that were also fascinating. Because mm-hmm. we have an interest in Bethsaida, of course, because of the biblical account.
The biblical account, Jesus Christ, and you know all these cities that are around the Sea of Galilee.
Right, right. So when we get back to what Dr. Stephen Collins has found, he was the organizer of this conference and the one that gave a large part of the presentation those 3 days. The site of Tal al-Hammam is huge, 5 times the size of Jericho, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. It was a major part of the ancient world there at the north end of the Dead Sea, right where the Jordan River goes in to the Dead Sea. The organizers of the conference were telling us about the release of a research paper to come. And on the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles this year, 2021, the research paper was released to the public.
Mm-hmm.
It was on September 20th. And it's a scientific peer-reviewed research paper, 65 pages long by 21 scientists,
mm-hmm.
that was first published at a website called Nature Scientific Reports at nature.com. And so while we were at the opening night service at the Feast of Tabernacles, this research paper about Tal al-Hammam possibly being the site of ancient Sodom was released to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's created quite a stir amongst those who believe in the Bible and, of course, amongst those who don't believe in the Bible, trying to discredit it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, from what we heard at the conference, and I've read the whole research paper, that Tal al-Hammam, that excavation site, very closely fits the biblical description of the location of ancient Sodom very well. The destruction layers there found by archaeologists fit the biblical description of the city's sudden catastrophic end.
Mm-hmm.
There's evidence of what we would call supernatural destruction
mm-hmm.
at that site of Tal al-Hammam.
Now, one thing, Peter, is interesting about Tal al-Hammam and also the location of the city of Sodom is that before, or maybe still preponderance, that it was thought to be on the south side of the Dead Sea.
Right.
And I remember when we studied archaeology, this is in college in 1966, 67, there had been the first talk about possibly it being located on the north side, the work of Kathleen Kenyon and other archaeologists. And I remember being taught by Dr. Hermine, that it's very possible that Sodom was on the north side. But I've not heard anything in almost 50 years, Peter, about the fact that it could have been on the north side. And what you point out here is very interesting. I mean, I have stood on Mount Nebo on the Jordanian side and seen the whole valley, which is one of the most fantastic views and vistas I've seen in my life. I could see the Dead Sea. I could see the glistening waters of the Jordan River flowing into it. And I thought about all the history over the years. And I think about that right now as we talk even, that being the location of the city of Sodom.
And so when you look at the maps in the back of your Bible, they'll often put Sodom at the south end of the Dead Sea. And it is now becoming more commonly accepted that perhaps no, it was at the north end, like Dr. Collins is proposing. One of the reasons for that is how Sodom is described in Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, it's the account of Lot looking down towards the Jordan River and deciding he wanted to live there. So Abraham and Lot were going to part ways. They had too big of an entourage to both kind of take over the same area. So they decided to, Lot would go one way, Abraham would go the other way. And they stood up on the hill between Bethel and Ai, those two towns, and looked down, and Lot says, I want that area down there. So they're standing up at Bethel and Ai, and Lot says, I want that spot, that round circular area in the plain by the Jordan River near the Dead Sea. That's what he said he wanted. And so from Bethel and Ai, when you look down towards the Jordan River, you can clearly see a flat, what used to be a very fertile area, and that where Lot said, that's what I want. And of course, that's where he said Sodom was, and Gomorrah. And many other villages and towns as well, by the way. Up to 100 other villages were down in that area as well, not just Sodom and Gomorrah. But Sodom was the largest of the towns or cities down there along the Jordan River. So you can go back and read Genesis 13 at some point, and you'll see a description of where Sodom was to be located. Now, the south end of the Dead Sea, you can't see that from Bethel or Ai. But you can certainly see the north end of the Dead Sea. And so it seems to fit the biblical description much better than what archaeologists of the past used to think.
Well, it certainly is a very desolate land right now. I'm pretty sure after what happened to Sodom, it was quite desolate.
Yeah, so in Genesis 13, when Lot looked down at the area of Sodom, it was fertile. It was beautiful. Genesis 13, verse 10 says, this is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. it used to be nice. Genesis 19 talks about then the destruction of Sodom. And of course, Lot and his daughters, and initially his wife, were grabbed by an angel to flee the area. Because it says God was going to consume the city. And it wasn't just the city of Sodom, it was the whole surrounding area. The angel told Lot, escape for your life, lest you be destroyed. You know, what's about to come here, Lot, is going to be catastrophic. And then in Genesis 19, verse 24, we read that the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from out of the heavens. And when we look at what the scientists have found now in this location of Tell el-Hammam, it fits this description from Genesis 19 very well. It seems to have been an event from the heavens, from the sky, like a comet or a meteorite, just obliterating the area of Sodom, Gomorrah, and 100 other villages and towns in that whole basin. So when we look at what scientists have found now, what the archaeologists have found, it very closely matches a biblical description of the location and of what befell that area. The name of the research paper, it's a long name, but it's called A Tunguska-Sized Airburst. By the way, I might mention that Tunguska is a place in Siberia where there's evidence of another comet slamming into the ground and destroying the area for miles around. So this paper's called A Tunguska-Sized Airburst, Destroyed el-Hammam, a Middle Bronze Age City in the Jordan Valley near the Dead Sea. So that's the name of the whole paper. Mm-hmm. So you can search for that at nature.com. So it's a massive peer-reviewed research paper written by 20 different scientists showing forensic evidence that a cosmic airburst obliterated Tell al-Hammam, the largest city in the Dead Sea area during the time of Abraham.
Wow.
Around about 1700 or so B.C.
In the Middle Bronze Age?
The Middle Bronze Age. Now, Stephen Collins has dated this site slightly differently than we would. And we're still trying to reconcile that. He believes Abraham lived about 175 years later than we thought Abraham lived. Mm-hmm. Most scientists kind of agree with us. Mm-hmm. Dr. Collins and a few others believe that Abraham lived 175 years later. So we're still trying to reconcile that. But the destruction at Tell al-Hammam tends to agree with the dating of Dr. Collins, mm-hmm. not us. So we're still trying to figure out some of that date. 175 years out of 3,000 is not a lot.
Not a lot.
But it's close. So maybe as the months go by, we'll reconcile some of that dating difference. Mm-hmm. But it's close to the date we would agree with, and the site, the location, and the description of what happened certainly agrees with what we would think the Bible is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
So it spans the right time, the right location, and the artifacts they've found certainly of what something you would find in the city of the size of Sodom. They actually got a comet research group from Arizona to come study the evidence. It's called the Comet Research Group, CRG, from Arizona. But they have a funny motto on their website. It says, they say, think our last space attack was 65 million years ago from the dinosaur killer asteroid? Think again. Killer comets are more common than you've been taught. At CRG, our mission is to prove it and to do something about it before your city is next.
Could be a trailer for a good movie.
So CRG, the Comet Research Group, has been to Tell al-Hammam to look at the forensic evidence.
I suppose they look at the metallurgy aspect of it, what elements are there.
Yes. See, what happens when a comet strikes the Earth is intense pressure and heat. And that's exactly what they're finding here in the destruction layer at Sodom or Tell al-Hammam. Extremely high temperatures, carbon being turned into diamonds. They say that you only see this kind of effect from a nuclear explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that the force of a nuclear explosion destroyed what was at Tell al-Hammam, except for the radiation. There's no radiation there. But that the heat and intense pressure from what they are calling a cosmic airburst is what destroyed the ancient city that used to be there 3,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
CRG, the Comet Research Group, has examined some of the material from the destruction layer at Tell al-Hammam and found that some of the pottery and clay and bricks have been turned into molten glass.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the glass is indistinguishable from that found at ground zero after atomic explosions.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened here at Tell al-Hammam was an incredibly powerful event. Even human bones have been splattered by molten glass. Interestingly enough, there's not a lot of human bones found because they believe they were just totally obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the bodies were covered up by falling debris and brick and walls.
Mm-hmm.
And were preserved.
Mm-hmm.
But even those bodies show evidence of being exposed to extremely high temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the toes, their bones on their toes curling up from the heat and things like that, which only happens like from an intense oven.
Well, almost like what they found at Hiroshima.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So the evidence does seem to support Stephen Collins' claim that Tell al-Hammam is the right place at the right time with the right evidence to be the most logical candidate for the ancient city. Perhaps I can mention some of the key finds of the research. There's evidence for high temperature burning of the city, melted construction materials, high pressure shock metamorphism, high temperature melted minerals, and minerals that don't normally exist in the area, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comets come with minerals on them. That are left behind, human bones in the destruction, implications of high salinity for agriculture. whatever destroyed Tell el Hamam meant that nothing could grow there for almost 600 years. And when you read Genesis, God says, in the destruction of this place, even the crops won't grow.
Well, when you go to the Dead Sea, it's got salinity many times more than what the oceans
yes.
do.
And so that salinity would have been there back at this time, mm-hmm. but it's like the comet exploded and caused that salt to go all over the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing could grow for upwards of 600 years after Sodom was destroyed. And so there's evidence of that salt in the ground now mm-hmm. and in the destruction layer. Of course, Jericho was destroyed at the same time, so one of the surrounding cities. There's a number of ways that Sodom could have been destroyed, but the evidence that fits every possible way would be like a cosmic airburst. And they've compared what happened there to the Trinity atomic detonation.
Mm-hmm.
So key conclusion of the study, let me quote for you what they say. They say an unusual 3,600-year-old charcoal-rich destruction layer at Tell el Hamam marks the sudden abandonment of a Middle Bronze Age urban center in the Jordan Valley, close to the north end of the Dead Sea. Across the 30-kilometer-wide lower Jordan Valley, 15 other cities and more than 100 smaller villages were simultaneously abandoned at the end of the Middle Bronze Age to remain largely uninhabited for approximately 300 to 600 years, pointing to the occurrence of some highly unusual catastrophic event.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you go to a dig, like we mentioned Bethsaida mm-hmm. at the beginning, the archaeologists at Bethsaida have found evidence of many civilizations, one building on top of the other.
Right.
And so even after the New Testament times of the first century, when Peter and Andrew lived there, later other civilizations moved in, not at Tell el Hamam.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly everybody left for 600 years and didn't come back. No one came back and rebuilt on top. And another civilization didn't come. Nobody could live there. The place had been destroyed and nothing would even grow. And so there's evidence of that for 600 years in the whole plain of the Jordan down there.
I think it's quite a testimony, since the Bible does reveal that there was a city of that kind and it had destruction that was catastrophic.
That raises to me the question, what if Sodom has been found? And is our world returning to Sodom? One of the scriptures that I kind of leaned on in this part of my message a few weeks back was from Matthew chapter 10, where Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned. And Jesus himself said to his disciples, don't go and preach to the Gentiles, he said. In Matthew 10, verse 6, he says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, anyone who won't listen to you, anyone who won't hear your words, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And then in Matthew 10, verse 15, he says, assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that won't listen to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we have this the gospel going to the house of Israel. It was kind of like the lost 10 tribes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in our understanding, many of those people are from the English-speaking nations today. Look at US and Canada, Australia, Britain, right? So my question is, is our nation listening to what Jesus said? Or is it going to be better off for Sodom and Gomorrah than for us when the day of judgment comes? It's an indictment against our own people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wonder, are we worse? Maybe we're worse. And we've got a real bad judgment coming upon us. What does God think of the millions of lives being taken in the womb? What does he think of our sexual revolution? What about the confusing versions of gender beyond male and female? What about broken marriages, high crimes, drugs, fentanyl, inner city crime, murder, disrespect for life in our society? Are we returning to Sodom? Have we already returned to Sodom? Is our judgment imminent? See, that's the lesson for us today.
And it's a very, very striking evidence of the fact that in Sodom, Lot bargained with God, saying, hey, if there's just 50 people that are righteous, would you spare the city? Spare that whole metropolis. God, absolutely, I would. And they said, well, he maybe asked too quickly, so he went down to 40, 30. And so it indicates that really the society was totally gone as far as morality and all those moral factors. And so if he compares it to our time now, it's quite an indictment.
And so one of the biggest cities and metropolises of the ancient world, only three people, Lot and his two daughters, were the only ones that survived that catastrophe out of tens of thousands of people in that metropolis.
There had to be thousands.
Definitely. Matthew 11, Christ said, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to the grave. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So, you know, Sodom wouldn't have had to been destroyed if they'd listened. But Jesus said, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
So saying, you know, even Capernaum was as a reprobate place. And being compared to Sodom. It's a dire warning for our end-time generation that Sodom will get a better grade than our society.
It seems like that they were more prone to listen up when a strong message came. Maybe they didn't have that message, or they did. I don't know. I just know that in our time right now, if you speak to the immorality overall, whether you talk about abortion, whether you talk about transgender, they almost laugh in your face. They almost want to get worse and want to blaspheme God, right? Blaspheme him in any way they possibly can, thinking they get away with it.
Kind of reminds me of if Noah's Ark is ever found or something, right? It'd be like a testament to the fact that an ancient civilization was destroyed in a flood for their sins. And so if Sodom is being found, it's the same story. It's set as a warning to mm-hmm. us today that watch out, because the punishment can come suddenly upon you as well for your sins.
Well, there's something about sin. There's something about reaching depths or heights of perversion that your mind comes to a point of where it recognizes nothing of goodness. It's just so corrupted that evil is good and you think that it's good.
And we preach a message of repentance. And the message of Sodom is a message about repentance and changing and not living that way. And I have to ask, will anyone listen to the gospel message? Will anyone listen to our message? Does what's happening in our world today affect my thoughts? Am I being affected by the world of Sodom and Gomorrah today? Am I compromising on the truth myself? Or am I being careful? Or am I keeping myself, unblemished and holy in the love of God, as being said, I think, by the Apostle Peter. No, Jude said that. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. And the Apostle Peter said that Sodom was given as an example to those who afterward would live ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, everyone that's lived ungodly should take note of the example of Sodom.
There are people who are out there who are, let's say, confused. They just don't know what's right or wrong. And they see a message like this, and they may say, well, maybe there's something to that. And as they unpack it, as they see what it's all about, they can come to repentance.
Right. And that's our prayer, for people to change, turn to God, and take his word seriously.
Peter, this has been so interesting here, talking about your sermon or about your visit to the archaeological conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This was just very, very enlightening, and I hope that you've enjoyed our podcast today.
I have, Vic, and thanks for allowing me to talk about it. It was a little passionate at times about it.
No, I'd like to hear you when you're passionate about a subject that was very interesting to you and how you can pass it on. Well, we want to thank you, our audience, for listening to Inside United. Please be sure to tell your friends about our podcast. We come out every week on Thursday afternoon, and we appreciate your telling your friends and listening to us weekly. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on the ucg.org website. Go to the main menu bar and click or tap on podcasts. We'd like to hear from you as well. If you'd like to write to Peter and ask him any questions about this podcast, write to us at podcast@ucg.org. So have a great week. Thank you for joining us. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.